good to know that we can go to the cross. It's so good to know that we've been to the cross. It's so good to know that Jesus went to the cross. Our reading today comes from Luke, the 10th chapter, starting at the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead.
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
And awaited him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own feet, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him.
And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him,
"Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee."
Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?
And he said, "He did show mercy on him." And then said Jesus unto him, "Go.
Dear Father, we thank you for the wondrous mercy that you have shown us, the way that you have loved us, the way that you have cared for us, the way that you are even this day allowing us to enjoy your very presence. Lord, you are welcome here. Your presence is welcome here. Your rule is welcome here. And we ask that you would lead us and guide us as we worship you both in spirit and in truth for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a love, what a love, what a love. That he would forgive such a one as me. What a God it would take for that. What a wondrous, marvelous, magnificent Lord. A Savior that allows us to be in fellowship with each other. A Savior that allows us to have communion, have the Lord's Supper together. A Savior that allows us the wonder of the cross. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, today will you unwrap a little bit more? Will you give us a little bit more understanding of who you are and whose we are and what it means to be in Christ? Would you give us a little bit more understanding of how we are to now live, that we have been changed, we have been delivered, that the blood of Christ has been shed for us. Now that that has happened, let us understand how now to live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the great things about the Word of God is that it gives us such a tremendous attitude adjustment on a regular basis. There is nothing, you know, you don't even realize how much sometimes you just need to be righted. Sometimes you just don't know how much you're listing to one side. You just don't know how close you are to sinking down into the muck and mire of the crazy world that we live in until you look into the Word of God and allow it to challenge you, allow it to talk to you, allow him to address you and where you are so that he might meet you where you are and take you where he wants you to go. Oh, this wonderful attitude adjustment. And here in Scripture today, in the 10th chapter of Luke, we meet a man who was kind of self-satisfied, apparently, and was testing if this man, this son of David, this one that was being hailed by so many as such an important figure, if this one really, really grasp all the stuff that he was saying. And so sometimes we're like that, you know. It's like we're judging God instead of God judging us. It's sometimes we're saying, you know, this word of God, well, I don't know if that was meant the way that people have taken it. Sometimes we need to have a little bit of a adjustment. You know, remember that old movie? What we have here is a failure to communicate. And sometimes, you know, we've been hearing the words, we've been seeing the actions, but we haven't really got it. So today, let's see if we can get it just a little bit more. Let's see if we can grasp it just a little bit more. In Luke, the 10th chapter, we'll start at the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer, this was a guy who was smart. This was a guy who knew the word of God. He really understood the intricacies. He was used to handling this word of God. This certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. He addressed Jesus and he wanted to see, Jesus, I want to find out if you really know your stuff. I want to find out if you're really the person that everybody seems to think you are. And he says to him, saying, Master, he addresses him and said, you're a teacher. I'm going to admit that. You are a teacher. Okay, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He realized that he did not possess eternal life without someone giving it to him. He realized he did not possess eternal life unless somehow he got this thing. But he wanted to know what was it that he could do to get eternal life. Do you ask that question sometimes? What is it that I can be sure that I'm going to heaven? What is it that I can be sure that I'm in there? What is it that makes it clear that I am his, that I have what it takes? What do I need to do? What boxes do I need to check? Do you realize how dangerous a place that is? Because what you're really saying is, what can I do to assure the outcome that I want? Think about that now. What can I do to go where I want to go? And Jesus caught it. He grasped that. And he says to the man, what is written in the law? Since you're an expert in the law, tell me what you think is written there about the very question that you have asked. How do you read that? How do you understand it? Explain this thing to me. And he says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. He kind of paraphrased the Shema that every young Jewish child knew, this truth that we all should know. We should really and truly love the Lord our God. We should love him with our heart. We should have an attachment to him, an emotional attachment to him. We should care about him. We should want him. We should desire him. We love him with all of our heart. We should love him with all of our soul, with our mind. You know, a lot of people think they love someone with their heart, but they don't love with their mind. They don't think clearly about what it means to love. Have you stopped to consider what it means to love God with your mind? You are loving God in a way that says you are aware of the challenges and difficulties and all of that that comes with that, and you still love him. You love him anyway. You love him with, you can think about this thing, and it's true to you. It's true anyway, whether you think so or not, but you have settled in your heart, your mind is his. Your mind. Do you love him with your mind? Have you really sat and thought about it for a little bit? Have you meditated on it? Have you considered there's a reason? Do you have a reason that others? You could tell others and say, I love him for this cold fact. See, I love him because I believe that he is. That means he is God. And he is a rewarder. He will give. He does give. He has given of them that diligently seek him. And if I'm seeking him, I recognize with my mind that I could not have initiated that. So if I'm seeking him, it's something that he initiated. I love him. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. I love him. I know some of the reasons that I love him. Do you love him with your mind, or are you just doing it because it's a socially acceptable thing? Well, it's really easy to be socially acceptable. It's really easy to be there because, well, it's nice to be around nice people. I get tired of being around those other kind of people. It's nice to please my family. But do you love him? Do you have a reason that if everybody else dissolved away, if somebody did Thanos a snap and we're just whoosh and you were all gone, would you still love him? I love the Lord. He heard me. He heard me when I was lonely. He heard me when I was hurting. He heard me when I was wrong. He heard me when I messed up. He heard me when I was bored. He heard me. He knows me, and I love him for that. I love him because he is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. I love him as I grow older, recognizing that he knows every hair on my head, and that makes it easier for him every year. Think about that one for a minute. And so I love him with my mind, but not only should I love him with my mind, I need to demonstrate that this love is not just a heart, a wishy-washy, emotive thing. It's not just some, I've got some kinds of fact, that because of that fact, that is a fact to me, that is may look subjective to others, but it's an objective truth to me. I love him for all of that, but I also love him with all of my strength. I demonstrate that I love him by the way that I live. You can know where my heart is by where my walk is. You can know where my heart is by where my wallet is. You can know my life by the way that I care for others. I love him with all of my soul and with all of my strength and my mind. I give it all to him. I give him everything. Because the Bible tells me I ought to give myself a what? Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is just my reasonable service. My spiritual act of worship. And I don't have to be conformed to this world. But I need to be transformed, changed by the renewing of my mind. I constantly need input from the Word of God that will mold me, that will change me, that will make me into what I need to be so that I can have the mind of Christ and I can think as God would have me to think, and I could speak as an oracle of God, because the word that I speak is the word that God has put on my lips, that word of God which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that word of God which is able to help me to know what to say and what to do and when to do and how to do and where to go, and is able to give me the power to judge everything so I can give an answer to those that ask me for the reason of the hope that lies within me. Do you have a reason for the hope that lies within you? Oh, this guy gave a pretty good answer, I'm going to tell you. This was a good answer. He was saying, I got it, Lord. I can show you what it takes to be a man of God. I know. So that's how I answer. And he said to him, you answered right. Of course I answered right. What'd you think? You answered right. This do. I want you to do it, and you will live. And this guy, man, by this time, you know, I don't know if they had buttons in those days, but his buttons are bursting because his chest is sticking out, because he has shown that he knew how to be what he was supposed to be, so that he had just as much knowledge as this guy, Jesus. But then Jesus says, well, go ahead and do it then. He said, well, I am doing it, aren't I? But he says, willing to justify himself. He said unto Jesus, okay, who's my neighbor? I want to know. You name my neighbor so I can tell you if I'm doing this thing, loving my neighbor as myself. Who's my neighbor, Jesus? You're so smart. Tell me who it is that I'm supposed to be doing this thing to. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. A traveler was out there and he was mugged. He was beaten, and he was left on the side of the road dying. By chance, there's no plan, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, a priest, supposedly a man of God, a priest that stood before God on behalf of man, one who brought the offerings, one who did all of these good things, supposedly caring for the flock of God, supposedly doing these things. So this certain priest came that way, and when he saw him, saw a person that was definitely in need, saw a person that was hurting, he passed by on the other side. You know, it's kind of easy for me to get, like, kind of indignant. He passed by. Yeah. You know, sometimes I'm riding down the street and I see somebody who is obviously in need. Obviously in need. And I said, I just don't want to do anything with that today. And I just keep on going. Oh, maybe he has a cell phone. sometimes you get, I tell you, I think maybe it's compassion fatigue. You know, you just don't want to help that day. You know, and not everybody do you see that maybe it's wise to even help. You know, I'm not suggesting at 3 a.m. some lady stop her car and help a guy that's staggering around. That doesn't seem like a good idea. But. You know, it's amazing how often we see people hurting. It haunts me today. I saw a lady yesterday. I was down in Louisville, and I was leaving the seminary, and as I was walking to my last class, I looked over. And there was a lady walking, and as she was walking, she's wiping her eyes. She's just wiping her eyes. She's obviously crying. Something's distressed. But I didn't stop and do anything about it. I had something to do. I had to be somewhere. It wasn't in an awful hurry, but I didn't want to stop because I didn't know how long this would take. And some white woman, you're not going to put me in jail? No, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? But, you know, it's amazing the things that go through your mind as you are doing things. It's just terrible stuff. And so I didn't stop, and she didn't stop, and we just went our way. Was she my person on the side of the road? How do I know? And so the first one, the one who was a priest, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32. And likewise, same situation, a Levite, this guy's used to caring for stuff. A Levite, taking care of God's people, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. No, I ain't messing with that. Nope. Nope, not going to do that. But a Samaritan, a half-breed, a Samaritan, one who didn't believe the way that the Jews believed. The Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. They wouldn't go into each other's homes. They wouldn't do anything with each other. They hardly spoke to each other. There was real animosity built up there. Yet, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This really struck me because I recognize that Jesus has compassion on the multitude. Do you remember Matthew 9:36 when he looked out over the multitudes and he had compassion on them? And then he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into his harvest. There's a job that he has for us. There's a job that he has for you. There's a fact that as we teach, preach, and heal, we should look out and have compassion on the masses. Are we people that are just trying to get by? Or do we have compassion? Do we give a rip about the people that we see every day? Or are we too busy protecting ourselves? Too fearful? Too scared? Too angry? Too not wanting to mess with those kind of people for what it might say about us? Certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. He took the leap. He went to him and bound up his wounds. He recognized this man was bleeding and a mess. He didn't check to see if he had COVID or whether he was a leper or what was going on, except that he saw he needed help. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil. He spent money on him and wine. He gave him his stuff, and he set him on his own beast, his own donkey. He put this man on his donkey, so he probably had to walk and to get this stuff done now. And now he takes this guy and brought him to an inn and took care of him. See, not only did he throw a little money at the problem, he stopped and became involved. This became a long-term kind of deal. And that's hard because it's frustrating to try to deal with some of these situations out there. It's challenging. It's tiring. It's hard. But that's what a person who is the one that you would call the neighbor does. There are so many of you here who love their neighbors. They lend them things. They cut their grass. They shovel their snow because you're a true neighbor demonstrating the love of God. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Had to go. Still had to go through the things of his life. Had to go, still had to do what he had to do, but he wanted to make sure that the job didn't fall through the cracks. So many people are falling through the cracks because the church doesn't stand up and do what it needs to do. He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. I'm coming back. You know me. I come back this way all the time. And when I come back, if you had to spend more on this situation, I'll take care of it. Because it's the right thing to do. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? That's what he's asking this lawyer. And the guy says, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, do thou likewise. You know, it's interesting. How could someone, this is Jesus has not yet even gone to the cross. But I want to show you that this has been God's mind all along. All along he's wanted us to do the right thing. Micah, we want to go to Micah. And Micah, the sixth chapter. Micah, the sixth chapter. We're going to start at the sixth verse, but we really want to focus in on the eighth verse there. Micah, the sixth chapter, and we're going to focus on verses 6 through 8. 8 is our pivotal verse there. We need to understand that we are called to behave in a way like Jesus behaved. We are to be imitators of Christ. We are to do what he would have us to do. And the only way that we can prove that we love God is to be obedient to God. And we are to be obedient to God by loving him and loving our neighbor. And if we are to love our neighbor, then there needs to be not only the ooey gooey feelings, not only this sense of intellectually, I really care about that person, but there needs to be a place where the rubber meets the road, where we actually do something tangible and real, not because that gets us to heaven, but because we're going to heaven, because we've been changed, because we've been, that's, we ought to celebrate that by demonstrating the goodness of our God, and our demonstration of the goodness of God will convince others that he has called them and equipped them, and it will cause this amazing thing where people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So in verse 6 in Micah, it says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? What can I do? This same kind of question. What can I do? How can I be with God and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Is there, you know, do I stand on my right leg and pat my head, you know? What do I do? What works? What do I need to do? Do I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will that work? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000? Do I need to be like Hercules and clean out some great barn somewhere and just to show that I love him? Am I doing it for that reason? Is that, or shall I give my firstborn? Shall I sacrifice my children for my transgression? Because I know that all of us have sinned, and if all of us have sinned, that means I've messed up too. And if I've messed up too, I need to do something. What shall I do? Shall I give my firstborn, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Will that do it? Will that do it? He hath showed thee, O man, O woman, he showed you what you should do. What is good? And what doth the Lord require of thee? Listen, this is what we should do. This is how we should live. Listen. But to do justly, to be in right relationship with God, to do justly, to do the right thing the right way, to do justly, to love mercy. Listen, a lot of people out there that need help, they need help because of stuff they've done to themselves. They need help because of the way that they've lived their lives has caused them challenge. And you could lower the boom on them and just let it all happen to them, or you could care and say, it's only by the grace of God that I am not there too. It could have been me. I will show mercy. Love mercy and walk humbly with thy God. Humbly. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. We've got a world out there that needs a neighbor. We've got people here in this room that need a neighbor, that need someone to care for them and love them and watch over them. We've got people that need to know that they can have a family. They need to know that they can be a part of the body of Christ, a family that is sewn together by the wondrous thread of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has knit us together by his blood so that we can worship together, we can do what we should together, that we can show love together, not because all of us are so good or so smart or so deserving, not because of any of those reasons, because God is so God. He's so good. He's so great. He's asking us to look out over the masses. Look out over the masses. And have compassion. People need the Lord. People need to be cared for, and they need to grasp that you care for them not because you're so smart, but because God is so very good. So today, as we take the Lord's Supper, the first thing is that you got to make sure that you're right with him so that you can actually do justly, that you can walk righteously. You need to confess your sins. I confess my sins. You don't have to blab it to anybody else, but you're talking to God now. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin. It's just for him to forgive you your sin when you repent of your sin, when you turn away from your sin, when you say no to your sin. You admit your sin, but you're done with that. You admit that you came from there, but you didn't stay there, and you were able to leave there because the Spirit of God impelled you, compelled you, dispelled the things that would keep you from being held in bondage. You are free, and today you're saying, I confess with my mouth, Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. I confess my sin. That's why I need a Savior. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. Really, such a heart belief that it makes me actually do justly. It makes me have mercy and walk humbly with my Lord. I'm willing to allow God to make me into the person that I should be. Today is the day. Today is the day. You might want to pray this prayer. I want to pray this prayer. Dear Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my foolishness. Forgive me of my purposeful mess. Help me to be a person who is so led by you that I can do what you would have me to do the way that you would have me to do it. I can't do it without you. Can't do it without you. So Lord, thank you for saving me, for changing me, for making me different. Thank you, Lord. Help me to understand how to love mercy. To live that out in my everyday life in a way that's not foolish but is right in your eyes. Thank you for changing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today we get to do the Lord's Supper, where we are saying that we as a group together are willing and empowered by God to live righteously. That we're brothers and sisters. And I like being brothers and sisters with you. That's such a wondrous thing. And such a gift of God. But we're saying that together we will love each other well. But not only each other, we will love our community. That we will look out on our community. And as God discovers those needs and we feel touched by that, we will answer. Not in our own power, because we don't have enough power to get it done. But we will give ourselves completely to Him so that He might use us. To glorify Himself. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we recognize today when we take the wafers, that is a remembrance of the body of Christ, that He was a flesh and blood Savior. Jesus walked this earth, and as much as it's hard to wrap our mind around it, we know from history, we know by conviction that He walked this earth. And He walked this earth in a way that fulfilled all of the promises that were prophesied, all of the stuff in an amazing way. And because he did that, we can celebrate and we say hallelujah and we say thank you and we praise God. That's why we drink the juice, to remember the blood that He spilled at Calvary, covered all of our sin. He is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. He is God. So as we imbibe in this, Lord, we do it with the knowledge that You are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will come and hand out our libation.